far. Okay. This will be a longer service. We don't get a little response going here. I mean, everybody Matthew 1?
Yeah.
Take your bulletin and put it there, because we're not going to stay there for a minute. Save that spot, but now turn to John chapter 4. We're going to go back to Matthew 1, and I want you to find it and have it ready to go. But we're going to begin actually over in that fourth gospel, fourth book, chapter 4, John chapter 4. Love it getting, okay. Now they're waking up. Good. The setting is this in John chapter 4. Jesus is making his way through the region of Samaria. He has come to a well. And in this chapter, you find him sitting there by the well. Now, the disciples all at this point have gone into town to try to get some provisions and all. So it's about noon, and Jesus is sitting there by the well by himself when a woman comes out to the well to get some water. As she approaches the well, Jesus asks her for some water. Well, this surprises her. So we're going to read why that does. In particular, I want us to notice then his response. So we're in John chapter 4. Go to verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Now watch. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." There's a whole lot in this awesome passage, of course. Jesus goes on to show the woman both her need and God's answer for her need, and she comes to him, and it's just an awesome, awesome passage. But I'm drawn this morning to begin with that verse 10 right there, where in essence Jesus says, if you just knew what God had for you in the middle of your life, in the middle of your circumstances, all you have going on, if you just knew the gift of God, he says, and who it is that says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. That statement, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who's talking to you. Not if you just knew how to be good enough. If you just knew how to earn. See, if it was a statement like that, it would not have been the good news that it was to her, that it became to her. And wouldn't it be good news to us either? But God comes not with these hurdles to jump through, but with a gift for her and for us. See, it's all about a gift. And notice it says the gift. If you just knew the gift of God, and who it is that's talking to you, because he is the gift. But if you just knew it, not head knew it, if you just heart knew this gift, if you really knew the one who's the gift, you'd ask, and he'd give. See, it's all about what God wants to give us. And what he gives is what we really need. He's the only one who can give us what we really need. In these days of rampant commercialism, it's a lie when it's set before us that if we could just accumulate something, purchase something, that in the having of something or some experience on the horizontal level or something, that in that somehow we could have joy and fulfillment. That is a lie. You must know the gift. If you just knew, he said, the gift that God has for you, if you just knew it. Again, not just know of his gift, as many do. They know about it. They've heard about it. But you got to know the one who's the gift. For Jesus is the gift. Now, there's great danger in this because we're used to that. Many of us have been raised in church. We've heard it so often. And so that statement kind of like, well, yeah. But I pray this morning, it'll be driven home to every single one of us in a deep and powerful and fresh way. And you know, not just that Jesus is the gift, but with the receiving of the gift of Jesus, it's what that gift brings to us. There's so many other gifts. That gift brings so much more. So on this Sunday before Christmas, it's on my heart to just consider what all is in the gift of God. That we would know, heart, know, experience, be living in the gift of God. To think about the love that's behind the greatest gift ever given. And as we do, I trust that we will find ourselves proclaiming, like Paul did. We read in 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." I pray that that would be our response by the time we're through. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, Lord, I recognize our words come short, but from our hearts, Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray in this time that you'd brush away the familiarity of all this, and that, Lord, we would indeed in a fresh way, heart know, focus on, just really consider all that you've done, all that we're celebrating, what it really means, this greatest gift that's ever been given. So, Lord, you know us. You know our need. And you sent the gift, the only gift that would meet that need, life, forgiveness of sins, true hope. You changed our entire destinies. You gave us purpose and meaning in this whole journey you've given us. Lord, everything pales in comparison, Lord, to what you've done, this gift. So, Lord, help us this morning as we consider it, as we soak in these things, Lord, may you get all the honor and all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reading the other day that there are some gifts that you probably should not give to others. Now, I mean, in particular, these are gifts, it said that unless the person were actually asking for this, if they're asking for it, that's one thing. But if they haven't asked for it, for example, it said it's probably not a good idea to give somebody a gift certificate for plastic surgery on Christmas. If they haven't asked for it, that's probably giving the wrong message. Or perhaps a gift of a weight loss program to your mate when he or she hasn't asked for that. Again, probably not the best gift to give. Now, some of you right now, I see your concerned faces. You have 4 days to go exchange it. All the guys are going, oh, no. There's just certain gifts that probably aren't a good idea to give. Matter of fact, I was reading American Express did a survey, and they asked people, what's the number one worst gift that you've ever received? Now, the answer that came up is something that you always hear about, and I'm not sure why it always takes such a hit, but it got number one. What did people say was the number one worst gift they'd ever received? The good old fruitcake. Apparently, a lot of people don't like them, but they're still given by a lot of people. But anyway, they said that was the number one worst gift on the survey. It's the time of year we run all around trying to find the perfect gift. And, you know, yeah, we want to bless our loved ones and do that, but recognize the perfect gift's already been given. Amen. You're not, if you're looking for something that's going to make the person feel whole and complete and loved, that's God's turf. They don't sell that at the mall. That's God's turf. And he gave that gift. The gift of forgiveness and eternal life and all that we really needed, that's only in the gift that he's given. Matter of fact, there's a well-known little, I don't know if you call it a poem, but it's. Let me put it up here. You've seen it, but let me read this to you. It's basically a statement. We've seen it before, but just a reminder. Let's read this. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. The world would try to tell you, no, our greatest need is money. Our greatest need is pleasure. But that's not really the space. That's not the hole in our hearts. That's not, none of that will fit that. What we needed, is forgiveness. Again, eternal life, purpose, meaning, all those things that can only be found in our real need, and that's a Savior. And so that is what God sent. God did not send Jesus to create a holiday. You would think tonight people think that. Nothing wrong with a few days off. But that isn't why Jesus came. The Bible never tells us to celebrate Jesus' birth. Again, nothing wrong with that. Fine that we do. Give him praise and glory that he came. But he didn't come to create a holiday. He came to create a way that you and I might be forgiven. He came to create a way that you and I might go to heaven. He came not to create a holiday, but to reconcile us to God. That's why he came. That's the gift that Christmas is about. I told you to leave your bulletins in Matthew 1. Let's turn there. Let's read Matthew's account of the Christmas story. And as we do, I want to invite you. We're talking about the gift of God. As we read this text, let's listen for the gift of God as you read the Christmas story here in Matthew 1. We'll start at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Matthew's account, a portion of it there, of the coming of the Messiah. Look at verse 23. Matthew points back to the fact that this was planned by God. In this case, Isaiah's prophecy about the child coming and how you might know the child. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. What's in a name? Well, in this case, everything. For here we have a name that really, it means that he'll be described as this. This will be true of him, is the idea. And what will be true of him? That in Jesus we have God with us. The incarnation. God coming and taking on flesh, dwelling amongst his creation. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Tim spoke on a Sunday here. Did an awesome job speaking about the fact that we need to have a bigger view of God than we sometimes have. Too often we limit God and we see God in small ways, so therefore we struggle in our trials and all. We don't understand all we have in him. And as he pointed out in the end, we really can't take in all of God. Our brains are too finite. But we need to certainly have more of an understanding of how big God is. How vast, creator of all, power and all beyond anything we can understand, really. But now I was thinking about that. I was preparing for this morning, and I thought about, wow, how big God is. But then think of God. Now, if you begin to get your brain around how big he is, now, this will really tie your brain in a knot. Now picture him becoming a baby. I can't really take that in, I think. Oh, we understand the concept, in a sense, the idea. But to really think God into a baby. I mean, going down, think about it. God. Laying, that's God laying there in the hay. God with us. What an amazing thing. But why? Why? Because he has a gift. He has a gift that we need, what we really need. He sent a gift to us. Why did he come? That points to verse 21. Look here in Matthew 1 still, look at verse 21. She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In Matthew 1:21, there we have the declaration, a very purposeful declaration. You're to call him this. It's not random. Let's see, what do we call him? His name is Jesus. Why? Because in his name you have his mission. The name Jesus is a kind of contraction with Joshua speaking about salvation and all. And then some of the divine name, Jehovah or Yahweh, put together, Yehoshua is the idea. And it comes through the Hebrew and all to us, through the Greek. And we come up with, we have Jesus. But what it means is God is salvation. So in Jesus, in his name, you have his mission, is the idea. The very purpose for him coming, the reason the gift is given, is for that purpose. Because we needed something we couldn't get anywhere else. So he will save his people from their sin. His name is his mission. And that is and always will be the case. For as it tells us in Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name, not in Muhammad, not in Buddha, not in Confucius. They didn't even approach that idea. See, man looks at this from man's way, and he comes up with ways to try to earn God. Try to work your way to God. But you can't meditate. You can't contemplate. You can't work hard enough to have your sins forgiven. So here's man trying to come up with his way. Only God would come up with this. God loves us so much, he says, look, you can't do it. To try to save yourself through any means is like trying to jump to the moon. Oh, you might jump a little higher than me, but neither one of us are going to make it to the moon. So God says, here's what I'll do. I'll go to you. I'll give you the gift that changes everything. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's in the name of Jesus. That is his very mission. He's come to save. God is salvation, is the declaration here. What God had for the woman at the well, do you remember what Jesus said? What did he term it? What did he call it? The gift. If you just knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, you would ask and he would have given it to you. And so it is with all that he offers. Gifts. By definition, God's gifts are not earned. They're not deserved. Given from a God who loves you more than you can understand. Because he made you and loves you and wants you to know him. And he wants to you to have these things. For those of you who were there at the women's Christmas dessert recently, you heard Kathy refer to a couple things. And I was listening to that message. Good stuff. Really good stuff that God had her share. But she shared this, and I'm caught my ear and I want to pass it on. But she pointed out that the word give is used 884 times in the Bible. And it's mostly used to describe ways that God gives. Because that's what God is. He's a giver. He's a gift giver. So, the first gift for God's love of the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? So that whoever would believe would not perish but have everlasting life. So the gift, if you just knew the gift, Jesus. But then he doesn't stop there. I want to take a few minutes and think about what receiving the gift ushers into our lives. The myriad of gifts that come along with the gift. Because he knows our needs. He knows what's going on with this. I don't know how many gifts are under your Christmas tree or going to be under your Christmas tree come Friday morning. But I want to think about the gifts that are under the tree of the cross right now. Well, we're going to work through some of them. The first gift, we've got a Christmas gift up here, and we have it labeled salvation. It all starts there, of course. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. What we've earned, what we deserve, is separation from God. All of us, true of all of us. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you got to start there. But having started there, then it ushers in a whole lot of awesome things. And I'm just kind of randomly picking out some for our time right now. Salvation. The next thing, rest. It tells us, Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We are a people who are heavy laden. We carry so many burdens and trials. And life throws a lot at us. That's not a newsflash. You know that. But we can be so heavy laden with these things. And we struggle along, carrying what we were never designed to. So he gives me this gift. He says, come to me. I'll carry that load. Cast that on me. I'll give you rest. But notice, come to me. Remember the gift. It doesn't say come to religion. Come to church. Come to churchianity. Come to being good. Come to being nice. I don't know. None of that. We'll do it. It's personal relationship. Come to me, Jesus said. You and me. And I'll lift that. I'll carry it. Thank God that He gives rest to our souls. What's another gift? Salvation, rest, the gift of peace. John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace is a foreign commodity to far too many people, including believers. We accept the Lord for our salvation, but we rush around, still trying to... Well, the world gives a peace that's based on circumstances, and we fall prey to that if we don't look out. Somehow trying to get all our ducks in a row. If I can just get all my ducks in a row, then I'll be at peace. I don't know about you, but I found that ducks don't stay in a row. Ducks tend to wander all over, meaning circumstances are always going haywire. Something's happening. They just do. But if we hook our peace to those things, then down we go. Jesus said, "Why are you doing that? Hook your peace to me. I give a peace. Not like the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. See, I don't have to go with the temptations to fear and have anxiety. But there is a peace that He gives." What's another gift? Living bread. John 6:51, "I am the living bread," Jesus declares, "which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." He went to the cross. He died. He gave Himself. And as we receive of Him, partake of Him, take Him in, like eating, you assimilate the food. He is the bread of life. He gives that to us. True spiritual nourishment is the idea. You're not going to find that out there anywhere else. You're not going to find that in a fancy package with bows under there. God gives true nourishment to us. What's the next one? Wisdom. James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives..." You know, given all this, "who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." We lack wisdom. Oh, we have a lot of information today. We are bombarded with information through the net and everything else. But how much real discernment do we have? How much real godly wisdom do we have? I wonder if we even recognize our need for it sometimes. We go through our day just going with our own wisdom, our own understanding. How often do we stop to really seek His wisdom, to go to the Word and see what God would say about it? And yet there He is saying, "I've got wisdom for you. Just ask, and I give liberally. If you just ask." I know I need wisdom, and we all do. He gives it. Well, we must move along here. What's the next gift? Grace. James 4:6, "But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Grace. God's unmerited favor for you. Does anybody need grace? About half of us. Okay. Well, for those of us who recognize our need, there's a place where it can be found. And thank God. Not the proud. Not the person who goes, "I don't need anything. I got it licked. I've arrived. I'm the captain of my ship. You know, I've got it under control." The Lord says, then you don't recognize your need. How are you going to receive what you need? But for those who are humble, recognize, "God, I need your grace or I'm fried." He gives it. He gives us the gift of grace. Think if we didn't have all these things. If we didn't have all these things and today they're being declared to us for the first time and you really believe them to be true, would we really be going, "Oh, this is pretty nice. I wonder what the game is"? We'd be out of our chairs. We'd be so excited. We'd be jumping around, applauding, telling me, "How do I open these things? I want these gifts." Don't get used to it. It's my privilege to exhort all of us, including myself, let's not get used to these awesome gifts that are ours. What's the next one? The Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Wonder of wonders. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, When you ask Jesus in, he came to live inside of you and me. When we ask him in, God lives in you and I. Doesn't mean we, sometimes we feel like it, sometimes we may not. Sometimes we're really in touch with it. Other times we look in the mirror and go, are you sure, God? But the point is, it's always true. It's a fact. When you invited him in, he took you up on it. And he moved inside. God lives in you now, believer. What kind of a gift is that? I'll give you a gift. I'll give you me, he said. I'll move inside. And then when I come inside, I'm going to direct you and guide you and convict you and all those awesome things he does. You're not going to find a gift like that at the mall. That's God inside of us. That's an awesome gift. What's another gift? That says prayer. The privilege of prayer. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Just one scripture that points out this privilege of prayer. God longs to commune with you. Think of it. He invites you. He gives you the gift of prayer, of casting your cares on him, of speaking to him and hearing from him. All that real heart prayer is about. That's a gift from God. We don't have to wonder, does he hear me? Does he care about me? Am I just talking to the ceiling? No, he hears, and as I bring my prayers into line with him, as I say above it all, thy will be done, I begin to see the answer as he works in me or in circumstances or whatever it might be. But he gives us the gift of prayer. Does my life show an appreciation for that gift? Does yours? Well, another gift, the kingdom, I've called it. Well, Jesus calls it. Here, let me read it. Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, when you became a believer, he moved you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He moved you from the reign of the enemy. You're under now the reign of our King, the King of Kings. You're in God's kingdom now. You're a citizen of heaven now. That's good stuff. Think of it. We're now part of his kingdom. Well, scooting right along. What's the next one? Victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know the final score. But along the way, we do struggle. God doesn't make light of the battle. We struggle against sin, against flesh, against temptation. He knows all that. But in him, I can have a victory. I don't have to give in to it. Sin doesn't have to reign in my life anymore. The power's been broken in this old guy's life. Oh, man. Thanks be to God who gives, not who earns, but gives me, you believers, victory. How? Through working really hard at it. No. Being really good? No. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory's in him as I hide in him, run to him, be all about him. Now, yes, as I do that, I find that obedience is how I appropriate that, but that's a response, not a earning of it. We just saw that he says it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He doesn't do it begrudgingly. He gives me victory. He doesn't say, well, hope you make it. I'll see you at the other end. I'll see you when I take you to heaven. But meanwhile, hope you survive. No, I can walk in victory through it all. All these are gifts from him. Well, we got one more to put up there. It's going to go right at the top middle. But you notice there's no label on that one. Because really, the list of what God has for every believer goes on and on and on. And we're going to begin really to put them all up there this morning. The Bible speaks about things as giving gifts of, you can look these up, repentance, treasures in the darkness, hidden riches of secret places, understanding, food and clothing, rain, strength and power, our heart's desire, everlasting life, spiritual gifts, our very breath. He gives beauty for ashes, a heart to know him, a new heart, all power over the enemy, eternal life, rewards. You can get excited anywhere if you want to hear it, you know. I mean, all of this. Matter of fact, what's it say? Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely what? Give us all things. Now, I'm not talking about cars and houses, but what I really need, what you really need. But delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everything I really need, all my need, met in Christ Jesus. Look at that. Look at all these gifts that we put up this morning. And think about all these other ones. How do you respond this morning to God's perfect gift? You ever seen kids, Christmas Day after they've opened their presents, if they got something they're excited about, something they were looking forward to, they get all excited. And what do kids usually do? They want to tell somebody, right? They'll go to the neighbor kids, or they can't wait to get to school to tell about the new bike they got or something. They're so excited. Or they want to go to the relative's house. And what is the first thing? Guess what I got? They're all excited. Oh, I got this. They're all excited about it. How excited are you about what you've gotten in Jesus? What would you say if this child got something they really were looking for? I mean, you say all that. Boy or girl got the bicycle that's just they wanted so much and they're so excited. And what did you say? They walked around like, hope nobody asked me what I got. Oh, this could be so embarrassing. They go to school. Hey, what'd you get? Oh, no. Oh, they want to know what I got. A bike. Hope you don't ask me anything more. We just got silly. Here we are, Christians. Best gifts of ever. Oh, hope they don't ask me. Hope they don't ask me what I got. Hey, how come? What did you celebrate? What did God give you for Christmas? What did He have for you? Oh no! How excited are we about the best gift ever? Huh? If you're excited, you tell people, "Hey, guess what I got? Come, let me show you. Let me tell you about it." Hey, what'd you get for Christmas? I got life. I got forgiveness. What's the worst they're gonna do? Oh, one of those guys. But time and again, what happens is they start thinking, they come back, you know, you got something I haven't gotten. I want that gift. Tell me more about that gift because you're different or whatever. But we hide it. We should be excited about it. As I said, God's gifts are not earned. They're not deserved. But rather, they're rooted in His love for us. Well, how do I open it? How do you open God's gifts? Interesting, because they're not like a tangible package that you rip open. What they are is they're an offer from God's heart to yours. And how do you receive them? Well, take the first gift, the gift of salvation. You receive it how? By faith. It's His grace that gives us, but it's by faith that we're saved. You must believe, not just heart believe. Again, many people in the culture kind of will give mental agreement. But to heart believe means cast all upon Him. To surrender. It's to by faith you open the gift. It's believing, heart believing. It's by faith that appropriates that gift into your life. First comes salvation. But then with that comes these other gifts. That if we will by faith stand on that word, stand on that promise. How do I open this gift of peace? By standing on it, by coming to Him, by doing what the verse calls you to do, whatever the specific one might be. You, by faith, take Him at His word. Interesting. So many of us as believers, we'll trust God for eternity, but I don't know if He can handle today. We worry and fret about today. Well, I don't know if He's big enough to meet that need or handle that. Oh, He can handle forgiving my sins and taking me to heaven. I'll trust Him for that. But I got to worry about this. And we rip ourselves off. The gift goes unopened of peace or rest or provision, care, whatever it is. How do I open it? By faith, believing it, standing on it, and then watching God work all to His glory. In John 4:10, you remember we talked about Jesus and the woman at the well. And He said, if you just knew what God had for you and who it is that's talking to you, you would have asked and He would have given. See, that's the two parts. We ask, He gives. We receive, He gives. We believe, we have faith, He gives. That's how it works. The call is to make sure that all of us don't come short of any of the good gifts that He has for us. The woman was in a sad condition because she almost didn't realize her own need. He had to take her to that point of showing that she'd been looking all around and wasn't finding it anything around her. How sad that people today don't realize their own need. But for those who will, God has what you really need. A Savior. And in the Savior, you're going to find that then all your need is met. What you really hunger for and need are in Him. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, he said in Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. It's only as we see the birth of Christ in light of his crucifixion and the resurrection that we're really able to grasp the full meaning of Christ coming. Only then do you really understand how awesome it is of what Christmas is pointing to, that baby in the manger, when we know and understand the whole thing. The saving, he's going to save us from our sins, but that saving isn't done through just the manger. It's not, see, the world can handle the manger. Gives us warm, fuzzy feelings. Nice, cute little baby. Oh, isn't this nice? Angels, stars, baby in a manger. The world can handle that one. But then the Lord goes, well, the full story is the baby's born to die on the cross for your sins, to rise again, to conquer death, to show it's God in it, and you have got to confess your need and receive it. The world goes, hold it. But it's the whole picture. We're saved not just by the manger. We're saved by the manger and the cross and the empty tomb. It's all part of the gift. Have you received the gift? You got to receive the gift. How sad that that gift would go unopened. This morning, have you personally received the gift of salvation, the greatest gift ever? You don't receive it because you were born into a Christian family or go to church on Christmas or anything like that. You got to personally believe in what He did for you. If you haven't done that, as we get ready to wrap it up, go to the prayer room, find a prayer partner and say, I want to open the gift. I want to receive that which my soul, my heart, my life needs. Have you done that? Do you know Him? If so, how are you going to respond to it? What do you give God? What do you give someone who has everything? How do you respond to such a gift as what God has given us? Again, citing what Kathy pointed out the other night to you ladies, but just I think it's worthy of all of us being reminded. What does God ask? He asks for glory and praise and thanks. He wants hearts. See, God can't manufacture the sincere love and praise from us, can He? He gave us that choice. And so that's what He wants. He wants what He has chosen to relinquish, so to speak, and that is He gave us choice to decide what we're going to do about it. And so in Scriptures, we see that He asked for glory at least 65 times, praise 36 times, and thanks 84 times, at least. That's what He's seeking. Now, I can't cover all those verses this morning. The church would be empty. You'd say, we got to get out of here. But I do want to do this. I was sitting before the Lord last night saying, Lord, what's a verse that might capture this idea of the gift You've given and what we should do about this? And I came to an old familiar one. He put an old familiar one in my heart. Turn right now one more time. You're going to your final passage for this morning. Philippians. You're going to go past the Gospels, past Acts and Romans, into Paul's letters, Galatians, Ephesians. You're going to get into Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Good summary verse of what we're remembering and celebrating. Philippians 2, starting at verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God. God the Son is part of the Trinity. That's what it's saying there. He was equal to God the Father in that way. But made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. When was that? Christmas. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's what we celebrate at Easter. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So there you have the purpose for His coming and all. But it doesn't stop there. For you see, in the end, it's not about the gifts. It's about the gift giver. Therefore, verse 9, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Remember how we began? You shall call his name Jesus. Again, it wasn't a random choice, but rather it was a specific name because it pointed to the mission that God is salvation. For each one who receives, we are forgiven of our sins. Now, at that name, it says God has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, that at that name, everybody will bow. Everybody will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. To what end? To the glory of God the Father. See, it's the name. All that's wrapped up in the name of Jesus. It's who he is, what's in him, what's in that gift. So it all comes back, again, not to the gift, but the gift giver, and that's what's on my heart. That we would constantly be those who give glory and honor and thanks to him. See, it's not about the gifts he gives, it's about the love behind the gifts. It's the Christ of Christmas that we're called to celebrate, and it's all to the glory of the Father. I'm going to invite the worship team up. As we wrap it up this morning, the invitation still holds. If you haven't received of the best gift, the gift of Jesus, you need to. It's the only way you'll see heaven. Go to the prayer room, find a prayer partner, and receive. For the rest of us, you're not going to find any end of the tree that compares to it. Nothing at the mall. The best gift's been given. And if you've received of it, I would like to suggest that that's worth getting excited about and proclaiming and resting in. And all think of all we have. Talk about counting your blessings. He's changed everything. On behalf of Kathy and myself and all the staff here at Calvary El Cajon, we do wish that you'll have a blessed Christmas. We thank God for each of you. Again, as I said at the beginning, so I wrap up with, we count you amongst our blessings. And we invite you, try to carve out some time this Thursday evening. Come out and join us as we gather on Christmas Eve to celebrate our awesome Savior's birth, to celebrate the best gift ever given. Let's pray. Father, thank you, thank you. You saw our need. You didn't hold back, but you gave. You sent your Son to pay the price that we might sit here knowing eternity is settled. Lord, if someone sits here right now and they don't have it settled, they're hoping, but they don't know. They never really made that choice. Lord, show them. You have the best gift ever, the gift that changes everything. Draw them even now. But for those of us who by your mercy we see they're saved, Lord, I just pray that every day would find us celebrating the best gift ever, the gift of Jesus. All glory, all praise, all honor, all thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen.